السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. وبعد، فقد قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: والذين استجابوا لربهم وأقاموا الصلاة وأمرهم شورى بينهم ومما رزقناهم ينفقون، صدق الله العلي العظيم. The Islamic community and Islamic society has four main pillars. Pillar number one is the sovereignty of God. They submit to God. These four foundations and pillars are mentioned in this brief verse. In chapter 42 is the consultation chapter, Surah Ash-Shura, consultation. So in this brief verse that I recited, which is verse number 38, chapter 42, verse 38, there are four important foundations for any Islamic community, any Islamic society, for that society to flourish and prosper and provide protection and dignity for its members. It has to have these four foundations. Number one foundation is the sovereignty of God. What does that mean? It means that God is sovereign. وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ. We are responsible before God. God is the highest authority of the society, because God is a very good God. God does not have a prejudice. God is not unjust. God is very wise. In some countries, the highest political authority, he wakes up at 5 a.m. in the morning and he sends some foolish tweets. This is the highest authority. God does not do that. God speaks wisdom. God speaks the truth. God speaks what is good for the entire humanity. And he never discriminates. He never distinguishes between his servants. He loves all people. So we submit to him. This is number one. The first pillar and the first foundation is to submit, استجابوا لربهم, those who respond to their Lord and they submit to him. They don't argue with him. They understand God. They have good relationship with him. وَالَّذِينَ استجابوا لربهم. So that society has to declare, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. No Lord, no power, no authority in this universe, but it's for God. God is my authority. I follow him. I follow what he says. And God is not going to tell me something wrong. Never, ever. Some people worry about God. How if God tells you to do something wrong? God would never tell me to do something wrong. If he tells me to do something wrong, he's not God. He would cease to be God. God always. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ قَوْلًا. Who's better and more honest and truthful and accurate and right than God? Nobody. So he doesn't ask me to say something bad. However, sometimes we misinterpret. I know some husbands who beat up their wives. They say, this is what God says. It's in the Quran. Okay? Some people who wants to do some injustice and corruption, they attribute that to God. But God never says these things. God is the God of justice and dignity and love and respect for the entire humanity, not just for the Muslims. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We bestowed karama, value, honor upon the children of Adam. Even if they don't believe in me, it's okay. God says it's okay. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Do not harass them. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. We present religion. Whoever wants to come and follow, he's welcome. Whoever wants not to follow, he's welcome too. But there is a day of judgment. There is a day of judgment. We will be held accountable. Here, do not harass them. Do not punish anyone if he's not worshipping God. Don't. Leave them alone. Let's give people a freedom of choice. Freedom of choice, my friends, is the most precious gift God has bestowed on us. Freedom of choice, believe me. In some societies where they do not have freedom of choice, they treat people like animals. Animals. They have no value. Only the Sultan, the king, he wastes the wealth of the nation. He gives billions of dollars to purchase junk, and he calls this junk weapon without consulting his people. Without asking his people. People have no opinion. Why? Because he treats the land and the oil his own property. His own property. Treating people like animals. They have no free choice. This is not an Islamic society. Even if they pray not 5 times a day, 50 times a day. This is not an Islamic society. The second pillar of the Islamic society, وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ. Why do we have to pray? Because we need to pray. Why do we have to eat to sustain ourselves? Without this meal, without food and a drink, you cannot function. If you don't put food in your stomach, you cannot function. If you don't put food in your heart, you cannot function too. Your heart also needs food. Your soul, nafs, needs good food, healthy food, healthy nutrition. And what is the healthy nutrition for the heart and the soul? The salat, the prayers. Prayers, not just the one that we do. Prayers is a generic name for acts of service and servitude. It could be meditation when you think about God and yourself and your future and why you are here. This is meditation. This is good. This is an act of service. It could be an act of, dua. It could be a private chat with God. Private chat. You are driving your car and you talk to God. This is also salat. Salat in Arabic, in basic Arabic, means dua. Any form of supplication and dua, when you speak to God, is salat. It's considered salat. You need this to keep yourself strong. If you don't have a strong friend in the community, you cannot move forward. Every one of us needs a friend. And the best friend who would not let you down, never would disappoint you any minute, whenever you call him, he's there, is God. Sometimes the closest of friends to you, they never answer you. They turn against you. They shut their phone. They say, I don't want to talk to anyone. Leave me alone. But God never does this. So trust God. Put your trust in God. Put your absolute trust in God. Put your trust in people, but not absolute trust. See, this is the difference. We trust people and we trust God. But the way we trust people, it's not absolute trust. The way we trust God, it has to be absolute trust. الاعتماد المطلق على الله. But do not put your absolute trust in people because they're going to disappoint you. At the time you need them most, they turn away from you. They let you down, believe me. Put your trust in God. God is your number one friend. Number one and number last. The first and the last is God. He would never disappoint you. He would never be absent. He would never shut his phone and say, leave me alone today. Don't talk to me. I'm unhappy with you. He would never say that. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ قَرِيبٌ I am close to them. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَى. So the second pillar of the Islamic society is prayers and supplication and connection with God. Communication. Today communication is very important. No individual, no family, no corporation, no entity, no organization can exist without strong and good communication. Therefore, we cannot exist and be happy without good communication with God. And the nights of communication are coming soon, Layal al-Qadr. These are nights of communication. Some people call them nights of power, which is good. You get empowered. You get empowered by faith. Some people call them the nights of destiny, where our destiny is going to be determined, which is also good. I call them the nights of communication with God. That's the second. The third, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ I'll put this on the shelf for 2 minutes, and I'll go to the fourth one. I'll come to the third one. أَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ The fourth one, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ With the prayers has to come spending. Prayers alone does not work. Prayers is between you and God. But God says, you have also to establish people with relationship with people who are around you through infaq, through spending, through reaching out to people around you, especially the poor and the needy. You have to pay attention to them. You have. In the month of Ramadan, if you don't do this throughout the year, in the month of Ramadan, remember, in your country, back home, in your village, here, somewhere else, this family, this group, those orphans, those disadvantaged, those forgotten, they need help. Pay attention to them. It makes you more human. When you pay attention to the less advantaged, you become more human. You start enjoying life more and more and more. You don't get depressed, believe me. The best solution for depression is spending, is giving to others, sheltering others. The more you shelter, the more you save, the more you protect, the more you share, the more you pay attention, the happier you become. Many people get depressed. They have money. They have money and they have a friend, but they are still depressed. And many people don't have many friends. Neither much money, but they are always smiling and always optimistic and always happy and always energetic and always working because they share. And this is a verse in the Quran. This is not my theory. Don't think that I'm creating this theory. This is خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ When they give charity, bring them peace. Salat is peace. وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ When you pray for them, it brings second. Second means tranquility and peace. سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ So when they pay charity, you pray for them, and your prayers is turning into tranquilizers, spiritual, not material, not pills that you purchase them from the pharmacy, antidepressants, no. Tranquilizers, spiritual tranquilizers. Inna salataka sakanun lahum. Brings them peace and happiness and joy. So reach out to others, especially in the month of Ramadan. I know our soul tells me, no, don't spend, don't give, keep it, save it, but don't listen. Here, don't listen to your soul. Don't listen to your soul. Then we come to the third pillar, which I jumped. Now I go back to it. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ أَمْرُهُمْ Their affairs in the community has to be a consultation among them. Consultation is against dictatorship. Beginning with the family. In the family, The family is made of a father and a mother, husband and a wife, and children, whether one or five or more. They have to implement consultation, shura. Shura. Shura means that they have to speak to each other and they have to consult. And when something important comes up, they have to discuss it. The husband has to discuss that with his wife. The wife has to discuss that with her husband and her kids. They have to discuss it. They have to give their opinion. This is the adab, the manners, the teachings of this book. In the family, when you have something important, when you are about to make an important decision, you have to get them on board. Members of the family, they have to sit and discuss this. Discuss it among themselves. They should not make a decision, you know, hasty decision with no consultation. This is called dictatorship. We think dictatorship is only in the presidential palace, only in politics. No, sometimes it's in the family. In the family, one of them, sometimes the father, sometimes the mother, sometimes one of the kids, their son, their daughter. They make decisions without consultation. This is not good. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَ بَيْنَهُمْ. They should consult. مَا خَابَ مَنِ اسْتَشَارَ يَقُولُ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Someone whose habit is to consult is not going to be disappointed. مَا خَابَ. Always he or she would reach the best answer, the best solution. So this is on the family level. You come to the community level also, whether it's a masjid, community center, corporation, whatever it is, they have to consult. They have to reach the decision through consultation, through asking people, surveying people. What do you think? What should we do? Something good in America, during the elections, you know, these ballots that goes to the elections and you give your opinion about it, whatever it is, whatever it is, something that is relevant to your life, it touches your life. So they ask the people. In other countries, they never ask you. All of a sudden, the mayor or the prime minister or even whatever, someone who has serves tea, you know, in the Qahwa Khuna, he has more power than people. They come up with a decision, nobody knows about it. People wake up in the morning, this thing happened, that thing happened, nobody consulted them. Like Saudi Arabia. Saudi is a good example for this. The king, he wants to stay in power, and Al Saud, they want to save their seat. They give $110 billion. Let the people die of whatever. Let people go to hell. They don't care. $110 billion. Okay? One signature. This is un-Islamic. This is treating people like goats. Goats, not a human being. And people here should revolt. If they are really human and they have dignity and honor, they have to say something. So consultation is important. And then consultation is not only by the leader. See, the Quran says it is reciprocal. Two ayahs in the Quran we have. In Surah Al-Imran, Allah says to the leader, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. The political leader has to consult his subjects. Before doing anything, he should consult his subject. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. In Surah Ash-Shura, it says, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُرَى بَيْنُهُمْ. The people have to advise the leader. It is reciprocal. Both. The leader should advise his subjects, and the subject should advise the leader. Reciprocal. Not from one side. Both sides. Meaning the leader should listen to his people's aspirations and comments and feedbacks on these issues before making a decision. And they also should listen to him sometimes. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. And if we do not implement Shura, my friends, in our societies, we are not going to go, to move forward. Believe me, we're going to remain backward communities. Backward communities. Now, there are certain places, Quran says, here in these certain areas, there is no consultation. What are these areas? Matters of religion. Whether the prayers should be 5 times a day, or we increase it to 7 times, or we reduce it to 3 times. This is not our business. Here, there is no room for consultation. Whether the month of Ramadan should be 30 days, or make it 60 days, because we are enjoying the iftar, mashallah, here in the masjid. Let's make it. One time I went to a community in another state, and they were happy, 30 nights, mashallah, Ramadan. They were collecting money, you know, and the iftar was good. So they said, Sayyid, can we go on and for another 30 days? I said, no, I want to go back to my wife and my kids. You stay here another 30 days. Yeah. Here, we cannot make shura here. Here, Allah said, this is the number, and I am giving you the text. And one of the areas that there is no shura, God is not going to consult the people regarding that matter, is the concept of what? Imama and Khilafah. God says, listen, I have experience. No matter how you choose, listen, before I say this. There is a difference between a president of a country, prime minister, and the imam. Big difference. Imam is appointed by God, divinely appointed. This is a divine office. The president is not a divine office. For the president, you may elect the president. Islam does not say don't go to the ballot box, don't elect the president, don't elect prime minister, don't elect this political party. No, participate. But Islam says this is different from that office. That office is permanent. That office is made and created and chosen and appointed by God. While these offices here, this president and that president, we make them today, tomorrow we dismantle them. People today, they elect this president, tomorrow they may impeach him because he commits something gross. He violates the constitution. So there is a difference. There is a difference. Because someone tells me that for a country in Islam, do you want God to appoint the president? No. No, God doesn't appoint a president. God says, you the people, you decide. This is a small office, limited office. We are speaking about imam and khilafah, which is universal, not regional or local, universal. إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا for mankind, not just for this country or that country. Here, the difference between the two schools, the school of Ahlul Bayt and the school of the companions, is that we believe that this office is not opened for shura or consultation. And this is exactly what the greatest scholars of Sunnis acknowledge. I read for you what Al-Imam al-Razi. Razi is the greatest ever Sunni scholar, mufassir of the Quran, exegist on the Quran, the Razi. Tafsir al-Razi is the greatest. He says in his book, he says, when God sent a text and he says, you have to do this, we cannot contest that or counter it with our own opinion, with our own ijtihad. Ijtihad means juristic reasoning, the reason of the jury, the reason of someone who's expert. You cannot counter it because there is text there. God says, I am telling you to do this. You can't come and say, let's open it for consult. I have given you the answer. My answer is very plain, very clear. You have to do this. So you can't open it for discussion. And one of these areas is the area of Khilafah and Imamah. Where is the evidence? Some people are going to ask you about the evidence. Where is the evidence that the Imam has to be appointed by God, or the Caliph has to be appointed by God, and there is no room for consultation or shura? The evidence is in the Quran, in chapter Suratul Qasas, chapter 28, verse 68. وَرَبُّكَ, listen to this. وَرَبُّكَ, your Lord, يَخْلُقُ, creates, يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاء, whatever he likes. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ, and he chooses for leadership. Our imams, the imams of Ahlul Bayt, Imam al-Baqir and al-Imam al-Sadiq, alayhi wassalatu wassalam, they say the term choose means for leadership, for imam. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ, he appoints, he chooses. مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ, خِيَرَة means choice. We don't leave the choice for the people to decide. Are you with me? Allah says, I decide who is going to be the Imam, the Caliph. Yes, you can choose your president, your prime minister, your, but when it comes to Khalifa, an Imam, this is my job, this is my area. This is my jurisdiction. I don't leave it for you to decide. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ 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 means لِلْخِلَافَ لِلْإِمَامَ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. I don't leave the khiyara means the choice for people to decide. Because people are going to fight. This is exactly what happened after the Prophet. Bani Taym, they want Abu Bakr to be the leader. Bani Uday, they want Umar to be the leader. Bani Ansar, they want this guy. And there was a fist fight inside Saqifa, fist fight. Nobody knows about that. 99.9% of the Muslims, they don't read their history. Believe me, they don't read their history. They don't know what happened. But when you read it in a book, well, people got together after the death of the Prophet and they appointed Fulan and he became Caliph. Congratulations, and people, you know, started clapping. It's not like that. There was a fist fight inside Saqifa. There were violence. People don't know. This is not consultation. This is not consultation. This is a Saudi style consultation. Bani Saud, Al Saud style. Okay? So that is not open. Why? Because God says this belongs to me. And now, let me end up with this. What is the meaning of consultation? Does it mean that the whole people, let's say we are voting here, all people here unanimously should agree over one thing, or the majority of them? Which one? Let me make a vote and see which one you say. Majority. Because unanimously, unanimity, it's sometimes impossible. Sometimes impossible. Even if you bring five people and you bring up an issue, one of them, two of them are going to have different opinion. So always you cannot have all people accept one opinion or one person or one concept. Definitely there will be disagreement. God says the majority. Ask the majority of them. This is real democracy. Majority. الرأي ما اتفقت عليه أكثرية المشيرين, the majority. Now, does that mean, let me ask you this question. Does that mean the opinion of the majority is always correct, or most of the time is correct? Most of the time. Not always. Sometimes the opinion of the majority is wrong sometimes. They choose the wrong person. They do the wrong thing. Not always. Not necessarily always correct. But Allah says, most likely it's correct. Most likely. But not always. Not always. Allah said to Musa, this is why Allah says, the issue of khilafah is only in my hand. I don't leave it. Allah asked Musa, Musa, go to Bani Israel and bring me the best 70 among them, the elite. So Musa went and he picked Fulan, Fulan, you come here, yeah? The best ones. He knows them, he works among them, he's the prophet, he's wise. So he knows who's truthful, who's honest, who's trustworthy. 70 people, he went to Tur, the mountain. He said, God, I brought, those are the best. What they say, the cream of the crops, what they say? Of my community. So those are the best. Allah said, good. As soon as they reached there, imagine those the best, the elite, they said, Musa, now that you brought us to the mountain high, okay, let's see God. We want to see Him. Imagine those the best, they want to see God. What would you say about the worst? The best who came here, arina Allah jahra. They said to Musa, Allah said to him, Musa, those are the best in your community and they are asking you to see me? Where is their aqidah? Where is their ideology? Where is their belief? Okay? So, always we don't know whose. Sometimes we make a decision, but not necessarily is the best. However, we still have to consult. We still have to consult and we learn from the Prophet. And I conclude with this hadith. Ma ra'aytu, one of the companions says about the Prophet, ma ra'aytu ahadan akthara mashuratan li ashabihi min Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I have never seen in my life someone who always, always consult people who are below him. Even in intelligence, they are below him. Even in education, they are still below him. But yet he goes and he asks them, what do you think about this? What should we do about this? What should we do? You know, in the battle of Uhud, the Prophet said, Quraysh are coming to attack us. So my opinion is to stay in town. Once they invade the town, we can ambush them. We are good at ambushing them. But the Sahaba, the majority of them, they said, no, Ya Rasulullah. We believe that we have to go outside the town. Okay, we confront them outside. The Prophet said, our number is smaller than their number. We cannot confront them. But the best way is like the guerrilla fighting, okay? Guerrilla wars. Have you seen them on movies? So when they come inside, we ambush them. They said, no, they refused. So the Prophet said, okay, I will go with the opinion of the majority. Imagine, Rasulullah. He said, okay, if you don't listen to me, I will listen to you. So they went outside, and you know what happened? Our Muslims were defeated. But still, Allah said to the Prophet, this incident should not make you stop consulting. Ayatul Shura came after the Battle of Uhud, meaning that, Ya Rasulullah, despite the defeat, despite you listening to them, and they were defeated, they were wrong, you were right, still, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. So please learn this in your family. As a father, as a mother, as a son, as a daughter, consult. Consult family members. If you work in a company, in a shop, in a corporation, wherever you work, with whomever you deal, consult. Consult. Make the concept of shura. Ironically, today, in the most dictatorships, they have consultative bodies. Saudi Arabia, do you know that? They have Majlis al-Shura, which has, alhamdulillah, the only thing, they eat dates and they drink coffee, alhamdulillah. That's their job. It's a figurative decoration. Decoration, it's not real, not real. Not real. And we also, some masajid, Islamic center, they have board, they have consulted it, but they don't consult. This is not good. When you do this, you have to consult. It has to be genuine. It has to be real. You have to have value for those, even if they disagree with you. Even if people disagree, they say your opinion, they say something else. Still, you have to have openness and tolerance to accept people even when they disagree with you. Allahumma akhbar lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi'an lahum baynana wa baynahum bil khairat. My friends, Haj Samir mentioned about this. This fundraising is for the hospital. Hospital of Imam al-Mahdi took, Imam al-Hujjah in Karbala, took 10 years to build from 2007 until 2 weeks, exactly 2 weeks ago, 2017. 10 years and $30 million. And the hospital is treating people who are poor, needy, orphans, free. And healthcare in Iraq is not cheap. It is expensive, but the hospital is treating them and giving them medicine, so they don't spend any penny. Poor, needy, and orphans. So if you'd like to give some charity, this is a worthy cause. On Sunday, 11, at this hotel, Double Tree by Hilton in Irvine, we will see you there at 6:30, inshallah. Please raise your hand. Let's recite Amman Yujib al-Muftar. For many people, especially our dear sister Hajja Fatma Saleh, who really needs your dua and your istighatha during these holy nights of Ramadan. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amman yujibu al-muftarra idha da'amu yakshifu al-su. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 يا الله من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية المريضة المنظورة اللهم ألبسها ثوب الصحة والعافية وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان. Inshallah, the first night of Qadr is going to be Tuesday night, inshallah. Tuesday, June 13th, yes? June 13th, inshallah, this is the first night. The second night will be Thursday, June 15th. And the grand night of Qadr, Saturday, June 17th, inshallah. For those shuhada who were fallen today, Wednesday, in Iran by ISIS, by those criminal thugs who killed many innocent people, please remember them in Surah Al-Fatiha, ma'as-salati ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.